Moonlight has been known to turn night almost into day with its bright glow on the ground. And sometimes nothing is more beautiful than moonlight on fresh fallen snow in the forest. Antonia's connection hadn't waited long to call, so I picked up.
Yeah, what?
The voice on the line quivered.
I got your number from Antonia. You wouldn't believe how many times I misdialed you. But then, once I mistook a hardware store for a phone sex line and...
I cut him off, already irritated by his rambling.
American horse racing attracted global attention when a gangly, uncoordinated horse was unexpectedly entered into races and surprisingly won. Calling Seabiscuit just another horse is like calling the Mona Lisa just another painting. He isn't just a horse, he's a hero. His trio of partners are not just men, they're guardians.
What we got then?
Six of them, armed with automatics, 20 hostages, one of which is Brian Cairn. They've singled him out.
Who?
Brian Cairn, the steel millionaire.
Ugh, I'll take your word for it.
Sam quickly slipped the vest over his suit.
Has anyone made contact yet?
No, we waited for you.
All right, well, let's get started.
Not a minute later, they signaled for Sam and the chief to join them.
It's ringing.
Sam quickly grabbed the phone with a quiet, thanks, and took a deep breath as he listened to the line. After two rings, it was answered.
Who the hell am I talking to?
A deep voice spoke. Calmly, Sam answered.
Hello. My name is Sam McKay.
What the?
You're not American.
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, what the hell kind of accent is that?
He's Scottish.
Are you the man in charge?
Scottish. Interesting. Well, Caballero, yes. I'm the man in charge.
All right. Do you have a name I can call you?
You can call me Jerry.
10 minutes later, they were back outside in the cold, trudging up Leverett Street, past businesses, a bakery, a saddlery, a bank, and a hardware store. Suddenly, Eliza stopped.
Oh no, what is it? Oh God, it's happening. My water is breaking. I'm about to have this child.
Let's stop in here for a moment, David said, indicating the alcove in front of one of the shops. It'll get us out of the wind. David dropped the trunk inside the alcove, then, after taking Henry in his arms, he guided Eliza to sit on the trunk. Resting on the trunk, she raised her head, her face contorted in pain, and she held her bulging stomach. The sign in the window read, Simpson's Funeral Emporium. The front portion of the business was dark, but a dim light was shining somewhere in the rear.
Oh, Lord, Eliza said. I'm going to have this baby soon, very soon.
As they waited, a transport carriage pulled up in front of the funeral parlor and stopped. The driver stepped down from the seat and started to the door. As he approached, he saw Eliza sitting on the trunk.
Missy,
he said as he rapped on the door.
What are you doing here?
I'm going to have a baby.
You can't have a baby here. You've got to clear the doorway. I've got 3 stiff ones to deliver.
The door to the funeral parlor opened. A dour, middle-aged man wearing glasses and dressed in black appeared. He held an oil lamp.
What's going on out here?
I'm delivering 3 stiff ones, the carriage driver said. And this woman is having a baby.
The man peered at Eliza.
Having a baby? You can't have a baby at the door of my establishment. Get away from here.
Suddenly, a somber-looking middle-aged woman with her hair in a bun and dressed in black appeared behind him.
Sorry, miss,
the woman said.
What is it?
This woman is about to have a baby at our doorstep.
The woman brushed past the man and stared at Eliza.
You're about to have a baby?
Yes. And very soon,